keep that in mind. It's the first time God says to them, beware. And it's around this book. Amen? It's around the Word of God. So notice verse 6 of chapter 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So our title tonight is these words, verse 6. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you, and we ask that tonight, as we contemplate the importance and the power of this precious book, and Lord, that we would take it on board as needed and understand how important it is that we hide your word in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we would also understand that you want us to make it part of our conversation, part of our lives, our daily lives. So I pray that we would learn and grow through this time in your word, about your word, and we thank you for this privilege in Jesus' name. Amen. So he starts off verse 6, in thine heart, in thine heart. Like we saw in Sunday school this morning, we cannot overemphasize the importance of getting God's word in our hearts. Look at Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. But all through the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, God wants us to hide his word in our hearts. Because as we saw this morning in Sunday school, that is the only way we can offensively resist the devil, is with the sword of the Word of God. Now, we saw there were other things we need to do when we're tempted, like to pray, to rejoice, to flee. But one of the things we saw was to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we do that? With his word. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Look at Psalm 37, verse 30. And I want us to just see tonight, as we walk through some scriptures, that it's not some isolated thing, that God wants his word in our hearts. Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And hopefully we don't even need to turn to 119:11, because hopefully we all already know that verse by heart. So let's say it together. Ready? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against who? Thee. Amen? That I might not sin against God. New Testament, Matthew 4, let's turn there, which we looked at in Sunday school this morning, looking at how to respond to temptation. Jesus tempted here in Matthew 4. Three times, with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All three times, Jesus said, verse 4, it is written. Verse 7, it is written. And verse 10, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Jesus used the scriptures to resist the devil. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is a book that we can never understand its power until we get to heaven. And part of that power is available to us as we hide it in our hearts and give the Holy Spirit a larger arsenal to draw upon when we are tempted, when we are attacked, whatever. The more that we have hidden there, the more the Holy Spirit can use. God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen? And God tells us to do this. So we're not going to stand before Jesus and say, I didn't have time, or I wasn't able. We aren't going to do it, are we? We just won't say anything. But we've got to get his word in our hearts. There's just no substitute for it. Back to our passage. Not only does he say, I want you to get it in your heart, but then he says, I want you to teach it to your children. Again, very scriptural. Paul said to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, because Timothy had a godly heritage and had been brought up being taught the Scriptures. Eunice, his grandmother, and he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Ephesians 6, the fathers are to bring their children up in the what? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, your heart, then I want you to teach it to your children. Then he says in verse 7, and I want you to talk about it. I want it to be part of your conversation. Of course, if it's in our heart, this will be more natural. But he says, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. That's when I want you to talk of them, talking about the Scriptures. Now remember, when this command was given, all they had was the law, the first five books of the Bible. You and I have the whole Bible. Amen. So we have a lot more to talk about. And this is what God wants. He wants our conversation. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. To minister grace unto the hearers. How does that happen? Well, if we talk about what's in here, it will only but minister grace unto the hearers. Amen. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And in 1 Peter 3:15, if you'll turn over there quickly, God reminds us that we have a responsibility to answer every man from the Scriptures. And how can we do that? Notice what he says. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, 1 Peter 3:15. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. What answer should that be? It should be from the Scriptures. It should be a scriptural answer. A Bible answer. Not our wisdom, not our thoughts, but what God says. So when someone asks us, we're ready to talk of them, to talk of his word, his beautiful, beautiful word. And so remember, God is giving them their first beware. They're about to go into the promised land, the end of Deuteronomy, the beginning of Joshua. When they get in there, God is warning them. If you don't listen to me, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do now, things will not go well with you. So I'm telling you that the best preventative medicine, when you go into the promised land, which for us represents the victorious Christian life, the best preventative medicine is to make this part of your life. To memorize it. How many times are we told to meditate in it? How many times are we told to study it? How many times are we told to read it? But God says, and talk of it. It should be part of your normal conversation. He says in verse 8, make it a sign on your hand, frontless between thine eyes, put it on the post of thy house. It's scriptural when we put scripture up on our walls. It's something that we're just obeying the Bible. Amen? When we put something up on our walls. Many people have, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord and so forth. That's the scriptural thing to do, to put scripture on the walls. So, verse 10, and it shall be. So he's made it very clear. This book is powerful. This is my word. I want you to hide it in your heart. I want you to talk about it. I want you to make it part of your conversation. I want you to teach it to your families. Because it shall be, verse 10, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land. So remember, they haven't gone in yet. The first generation's died in the desert. The new generation's about to go in. When you go into that land, look what he says. I'm going to give you great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. So you're going to be able to take over these amazing cities, and you didn't even build them. But I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to help you defeat the current inhabitants, and I'm going to just give you these amazing cities. When we set out to live for God, he just gives us so much. He just blesses and blesses and blesses, doesn't he? And then he goes on to say, verse 11, houses full of good things. When you get in there, I'm going to bless you so abundantly. I'm going to fill your houses with good things, which you didn't fill. I did it. I'm going to give you wells that have already been dug. You didn't dig them. I'm going to give you vineyards and olive trees that you didn't plant. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full. So now we see why we've talked about this. There's not a lot of rich Christians because we couldn't handle it. If we were rich, we'd just turn into selfishness, wouldn't we? And so I'm going to give you all these things. Life is going to be, from an earthly point of view, life is going to be great. I'm going to give you cities. I'm going to give you houses. I'm going to fill your houses. I'm going to fill your gardens. Everything is going to be good. It's the promised land. When you get in there, I've already given you your preventative medicine. It's my word. My word is going to guide you. So you need to get it in your heart. You need to teach it to your families. You need to put it on your walls. You need to put it on wherever you can. It needs to be part of your conversation. Because when things are going really good, that's when you're going to be most tempted to stray. That's just how we are, isn't it? We're more tempted to stray when physically things are going well than when we're going through intense trials. It's when we're going through intense trials, that's when we're on our knees begging God for his presence and help, isn't it? But when things are going really good, I'm talking about from a physical point of view, the tendency is to say, well, I don't really need to pray. Things are really good. And that's what he's saying to them. When all this happens and you're full, the worst thing that can happen, he says, is that you get complacent in your walk with me. And if that happens, here's the beware, verse 12. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. If you've ever read the book of Judges, it's a hard book to read because it's kind of depressing. But it's basically this cycle over and over and over again. God blesses them with a judge who rescues them from their captors. They go home. They're happy. God is great. God is wonderful. Then they worship false gods, fall back into sin. God sends another nation, takes them captive. While they're captive, they say, Lord, we were wrong. We're so sorry. God sends them a judge and delivers them. They go back home. God is great. God is wonderful. And it's the same cycle over and over again. So look at Deuteronomy 8, if you will, where we'll be in a couple of weeks. Chapter 8, verse 10. So this is the first beware of the Bible. And the first beware of the Bible says, make sure that the Bible is part of your life. Because if you don't, when things are good, you're going to have a tendency to turn your back on me, God says. Deuteronomy 8, look at verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, lest thou forget not the Lord in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. There's obedience. Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beware lest thou forget where you came from, why you're here. Beware. And he didn't give them a long list of preventative medicine, did he? He gave them a list with one thing on it, the Word of God. Now that has multiple sublists. I want you to memorize it. I want you to teach it to your family. I want you to talk about it. I want you to put it on your walls. But it's all the Word of God. He said, if you will keep that before you at all times, if you'll hide it in your heart, then you're going to be more inclined to obey it, especially when things get good. And so what a warning, even to us, to be careful, because we all go through these times of feast and famine as Christians, don't we? God says it's the times when it's in the feast mode that you're going to have the highest tendency to forget God. And those are the times when it's worth looking back and saying, thank you, Lord, that I put in the effort, that I put in the time to memorize your word. Because then the Holy Spirit can pull it up. You know, that one verse, if you look at Psalm 40, verse 8 again, David is admitting here that the reason that he was more inclined to obey and delight in the Lord had to do with God's word. Psalm 40, look at it again, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. In other words, I more want to be obedient because I have memorized your word. Goes on to say, verse 9, I've preached righteousness. Verse 10, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness. Why? Because thy law is within my heart. What a beautiful truth. And then the other one looked at Psalm 37, if you turn there again, and verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, his tongue talketh of judgment. Look what he says. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Wow, that's a good promise, isn't it? We're more inclined to be obedient if we have more of the word in our hearts. So again, it can't be overemphasized how important it is that we continue to memorize, no matter how old we are, no matter how much gray hair we have, that we just keep at it until Jesus takes us home. And then I'm sure we'll know the whole Bible by heart when we get to heaven. But here on earth, it just can't be overemphasized. These words, God said, these words shall be in thine heart. Old Testament, New Testament, put them in your heart. Hide them there. So when the Holy Spirit, when you're tempted, when you're hurting, or even when things are really, really good physically, the Holy Spirit can pull those up and remind us, amen, that God needs to be put first, and that the devil, when he says, oh, let's just, you know, God's really blessing, things are going really good, what's the point in praying today? What's the point in being in the Word today? Things are so good. And that's when the Holy Spirit says, pray without ceasing. One of those verses you memorized. Pray without ceasing. He spake a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then we remind, yes, Lord, thank you. I got to keep praying, even though things are good. And the Holy Spirit will do this. This is the sword. Amen? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These words, what a warning. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that this is so clear and that we can take it and put it to practical use in our Christian lives. And Lord, may we just realize how we are such sinners and we always have this tendency to drift from you when you bless. And if we would just hide more of the word in our hearts, that tendency would not be as strong, because the Holy Spirit would be able to pull those scriptures. So Lord, may we put in the work, put in the effort, whatever it takes to get the word in our hearts, to teach it to our families, Lord, to talk about it in our conversations, Lord, that we might be truly biblical Christians, and that the beware won't apply to us. So thank you for your precious word and for speaking to us from it. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray.